We as the ratepayers at Skagway, if the cable goes out, we're going to be paying for all the diesel fuel that's burned in the Haynes because they haven't taken the advantage of the hydro that they should have down there.
The Skagway Assembly talks Connolly Lake in a workshop series on caring for heirlooms. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Four responders of a Skagway ambulance crew were injured early Tuesday morning as they returned from a medevac at Carcross. According to Skagway Fire Chief Jeremy Simmons, Ambulance 28 touched the soft shoulder of the side of the Klondike Highway at about 1:30 a.m. It lost control and tipped over on the passenger side, sliding into the ditch. Responders John Thomas and Haley Whitaker were medevaced to Juneau for their injuries. Thomas has since been sent to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle with back injuries, and Whitaker will undergo surgery for a bone fracture at Bartlett Regional Health Center in Juneau. Both are listed in stable condition, according to the chief. Responders Matthew Russell and Kathy Sterner had minor injuries and were treated in Skagway.
The Skagway Borough Assembly has completed work on an amendment to the Tidelands lease that will allow the municipality of Skagway to take back undeveloped land from White Pass and Yukon Route Railway. The lease amendment became public after an assembly executive session on July 2nd. The undeveloped land, which is currently submerged and located near Skagway's ore terminal, will prove helpful for the construction of the Gateway Intermodal Dock. The proposed dock is part of the Gateway Project, a cooperative project between Skagway, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, and the Yukon government that will enhance industrial use of Skagway's port facilities for ore shipment from the Yukon. The surrendered land, along with most areas of Skagway's waterfront, was leased to White Pass by the municipality in 1968. The assembly will vote on the amendment at the July 19th meeting. In a July 5th meeting, the Skagway Borough Assembly passed a resolution in which the municipality of Skagway will support a traditional licensing process for the Connolly Lake Hydroelectric Project. Alaska Power and Telephone Manager Darren Belisle said AP&T prefers a traditional licensing process because it would save ratepayers a lot of money.
This amendment will help our application fee. We'd like the traditional licensing process versus the integrated license process, which saves AP&T about $500,000, which ultimately saves the ratepayers $500,000.
The traditional licensing process would also be quicker and just as efficient as an integrated process, Belisle said. He said both processes have good points, but the integrated process would take longer and be more drawn out. The Connolly Lake Hydro Project would run year-round and produce anywhere from 7 to 12 megawatts of power in the summer and about 5 megawatts in the winter. If the project is created, it would stop AP&T from burning diesel in the spring during years that Goat Lake doesn't produce its maximum water in the winter. Right now, hydropower created from Goat Lake and Dewey Lakes is transferred to Haynes through a submarine cable. Belisle said that cable will eventually fail, and if Connolly Lake Hydro Project is created, AP&T will not have to run diesel to power Haynes when it does. It would also prevent AP&T from burning diesel in the spring during years that Goat Lake doesn't produce its maximum water in the winter. Assemblyman Dave Hunts says he supports the Connolly Lake Hydro Project and thinks a traditional licensing process would be the best approach for the ratepayers of Skagway because it would save them money by requiring Haynes to pick up some of the cost.
We as the ratepayers of Skagway, if the cable goes out, we're going to be paying for all the diesel fuel that's burned in the Haynes because they haven't taken the advantage of the hydro that they should have down there. Now, I don't know how you forced them into it other than the fact that, you know, during the next process, we should try and sever that relationship and say if you need extra, if you got to burn diesel, then the ratepayers there pay it. We've paid our portion of the hydro up here. We paid for Dewey Lakes hydro for 110 years. They reap all the benefit and don't want to help themselves.
Assemblyman Mike Korsmo said he agrees there should be a hydro project closer to Haines, but he is unsure of which licensing process would be better. He also adds that Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott supports an integrated licensing approach.
It's pretty well known around here that there's a pretty strong desire to see the other end of our little local hydro have some power, but at the same time, it's got to be, you know, it's got to come from them, I think, a little bit. I talked to Stephanie Scott. What she believes is that the integrated process stands a better chance of being successful for them. And so, that, and she supports the Conner Lake. She said, came out and said she supports the Conner Lake Hydro Project. She thinks that the other integrated licensing process would pass muster better with her community.
Korsmo said he is just starting to learn about the licensing processes and added that he couldn't vote in favor of a traditional approach during the meeting because he didn't have enough background on either process. A Conner Lake Hydro Project has been a topic of debate in Haines because of potential environmental harm, but Belial said there would be a feasibility study, which will include a full environmental workup.
The area we are proposing, the Conner Lake, mm-hmm. is in the Salmon Watershed in Haines. We're not trying to bypass any of the studies needed. If it turns out that it's not feasible, then it won't be feasible.
The resolution passed with a 4-5 vote, with Korsmo voting no. Assemblyman Tim Cochran was absent. For KHNS, this is Jim Devereaux in Skagway.
If you've ever wondered how to protect your great-grandmother's wedding dress or that relic of the gold rush that's been in your family for generations, an upcoming workshop series in Skagway can help you out. The Klondike Gold Rush National Historic Park is offering a set of 3 heirloom care workshops for the public this summer. The park is hosting the workshops with the help of the Alaska State Museum and conservation interns working at the park this summer. Park curator Samantha Rickert said part of the intern program is to do community outreach, and these workshops aim to do just that.
You know, museums sometimes can be kind of squirreled away from the rest of the world, and that's exactly the opposite of what the Park Service is trying to do. We really want to make things, you know, we want to make museums and these artifacts that are under our care part of public history. And so if you extend that out, then you kind of start thinking about, well, almost everybody has something that has gotten passed on to them from generation to generation. And we don't want to try to take that away from people, but we want to also help them take care of those artifacts so that they continue to have them over time so they're not deteriorating.
Rickert said there's a trove of family heirlooms and century-old artifacts in the Gold Rush town. Even relative newcomers to the area usually have some item in their family that's been passed down through generations. Rickard said she has a mirror her great-aunt Ruth bought on her honeymoon in Mexico in the 1920s. She's bringing it to the workshop so that curator Scott Carley can use the X-ray fluorescent spectrometer on it and determine what kind of metal the mirror is made of.
One of the cool things that's going to happen is Scott Carley is going to bring the XRF, which they call the science gun or the space gun, at Alaska State Museum, and it's an X-ray fluorescent spectrometer. And you can kind of shoot it at a piece of metal, and he can then, from the data that gives him, tell you what kind of metal this is. So, like, this metal that's on this mirror, I don't know what it is, so I don't really know how to take care of it, if I should be polishing it or not polishing it, or what I should be doing to take care of this item, so he'll be able to help me with that.
There are 3 workshops that comprise the Heirloom Care Series. The first will offer condition assessment on items. The second will teach participants how to clean items without damaging them. And the third will provide information and lessons on how to store or display them. Rickert says there are many inexpensive ways to care for and keep heirlooms safe and protected.
And we want to make it really accessible, because you can spend tons and tons of money on conservation supplies and buying acid-free cardboard and all this stuff, but, you know, there are some ways around that so that you can take care of an object and not have to spend tons and tons of money on it.
Rickert notes that the workshops will not offer any monetary or value assessments on items.
We're trying to figure out, you know, how do we take care of this thing? What kind of condition is it in? what kind of issues does it have? And that way, I kind of think that conservators are sort of like artifact doctors. Like, they're there to look at the health of an artifact.
The series is free to the public and begins July 12th, with the second and third workshops on July 26th and August 16th. All workshops take place at the AB Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. Call the park at 983-9222 for more information. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer and Haynes with Jim Devereaux in Skagway. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS commentary.